There have been resurrections before the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know in the scripture Lazarus was raised from the dead, and then he died again. We know that a man's body that touched the bones of the prophet Elijah was raised from the dead. But this resurrection was different. It was totally different in the nature of it. For Christ is the firstborn from the dead in Colossians 1:18. Because he never dies again. In his relationship with God as a man is different from the relationship that we had with God. When Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they sinned, they lost God. When Christ came, he was always with God. In Psalm 22, we read that even in his mother's womb, even when he fed from his mother's breasts, he was in communion with the Father without sin. But he was in the likeness of sinful flesh, meaning if we go to the beginning of the Bible and we see the curse that came on man, we see that man would sweat. We also see that a woman would bear a child in pain. We also see that man was afraid, he was ashamed, and he was guilty. We also see that he would labor with thorns in this world. When Christ came, he had no sin, but his body was like sinful flesh. Romans chapter 8 in verse 3 and 4. But he was also God, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. These are words of Hebrews 1:3, where Christ, if you saw Christ, if you saw him, you could see the brightness, the reality. But even as we saw in the play, even as after his resurrection, Mary did not identify him immediately until she heard his voice say her name, Mary. Reminds us of John 10, verse 4, my sheep hear my voice and I call them by name. And we recognize the nature of this resurrection, that this was not simply a resuscitation. This was the resurrection, the transformation of this world to another one that is it, but more than it. Jesus is the firstborn of that resurrected nature. Meaning that if we touched his body, we would touch this world, but more, we would touch this world glorified. Meaning, if we were with him, we would recognize a new creation. We would recognize that man was not made to die, but he was made to live. I used to live in Finland, and we would go to the Soviet Union, and there in Moscow, there was the Lenin Mausoleum where Lenin was buried, and you could go in and see his mummified body. And the atheistic, materialistic philosophy, in a way, was embodied in him, Lenin. Actually, out in Tajikistan in the mountains, it said, Lenin, how does it go? Lenin lives, and Lenin lives forever. But as people would go to that mausoleum when they were married to put flowers there, or even when people died, they would go, and there was weeping, and weeping that was borderline horrific. Weeping without an answer. Weeping in the presence of death. Weeping in the old creation. Torn away from relatives without any message. Other than you will not see them again. There is no world that is after this one. There is no answer for you except socialism. The development of the society into hopefully a utopia after 70 years of that empire. We know it was a disaster. Politically, socially, psychologically, economically, internationally, painfully a disaster. Where is the message? It is here in the scripture. It has been sent to us by the scripture, the prophets, and the Holy Spirit that dwells in you as a believer. We have a message that is beyond all messages, that comforts the broken heart. When our mother or brother or sister dies, there is great weeping. But we have a different kind of weeping. We have a weeping with hope. We have a weeping with a resurrected Christ. We have a weeping with promises that are from God. We have broken hearts that are healed. We have a question in our mind that is answered. In Job 19, let me read this to you. In listen to these words. These are great words. Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were printed in a book. This is Job speaking. Oh, if these words, oh, these words, oh, that my words were now written, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. We have seen bridges in granite and stone, and graven in the stone are the dates of the bridge or some other memorial. But these words, that they were graven with iron pen and lead in the rock. Well, Job, we have something greater than these words graven in a rock. We have words written in our hearts. We have words that are penned by the Spirit of God into our very nature. Listen, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he, listen to this, he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. My eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Even though I am suffering, I know my Redeemer liveth. I know he will stand at the latter day upon the earth. Have you read your Bible? Do you know what it says back here in the book of Revelation? with the coming of the Christ, that he will stand upon the earth in the latter day? Do you know that even after your flesh, worms will destroy our body? I read about a man who was buried in a tree in the cemetery. The roots went down into his coffin, and the root went through his skull. And the roots went down his spine and divided at his legs. The tree was nourished by the dead body of the man. What is the body? What is the body? Is it only a feeding station for a tree? What is the body? Yeah, fertilizer for the fish? What is the body? Listen to this, Psalm 139. These are great words. Listen. My substance, I am wonderfully made. My substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret, curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, the finest, the elements of the earth, the material. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in your book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, yet when yet there was none of them. There is a book, and our DNA is in the book, even when we did not exist. Listen to this part. Even when there was none of them, when there was no material, yet God knew my DNA, for he knows the end from the beginning, and they're written in a book. How is a dead body raised up out of the grave? How are the materials brought together? But in Philippians chapter 3, it says, with the same power that raised Christ up from the dead, we are also raised with, we are raised by the same. It says, who shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. This is our hope. Let's close by reading 1 Corinthians 15. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up? In verse 35. With what body do they come? If a tree is growing in a body, if a fish is eating the body, where will the body come from? Thou fool. Verse 36. That which you sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, it may chance of wheat or of some other grain. Do you hear what he's saying? You sow the seed in and it comes up different. You plant a body in the ground, even Christ's perfect life. And remember, he always has been, never was created. Christ, there was never a time when Christ was not. Before Bethlehem, he always was, from everlasting in Micah 5 and verse 2. There was never a time, as some heretics through the ages have brought up different ideas about Christ's nature, that Christ was an angel or God made Christ. No, he was eternally begotten. You know, when a child is begotten, there's a point when he begins, not with Christ, because it was eternal, eternally begotten. My own son, my begotten son, my eternally begotten one, that Christ always was, but he was from the Father, but the Father really had no beginning. Christ had no beginning, always was. And yet here we see him taking on the likeness of sinful flesh because he had to die. But he was not a martyr. What is a martyr? A martyr is somebody that enters into situations he has no control over, and he is killed for his cause. But that is not true with Christ. Christ stepped into circumstances, and he was in charge. His Father was in charge. He said, "You cannot take my life. I lay it down." He said to Pilate, "You have no authority over me but that which is from my Father." And that shook Pilate to the bones. Who are you? Who are you? Back in those days, they did have a lot of superstition and a lot of ideas about people and about gods and so on. And even Pilate's wife thought, "Have nothing to do with this man. I had a dream this past night. Have nothing to do with him." But Pilate was subject to forces. Scripture, the fulfillment of a plan. Pilate had free will, and he could decide to believe or not. But regarding these circumstances, they had to happen to fulfill the prophecies. For this man to take on death, and say, "Death, here I am, I take you on. For man was not made to die, but I will sow the seed of my death that another creation, another world, a world that is like this one, but beyond it, a world that is not separated from God, but is totally saturated with God, a world where righteousness reigns. There is no lie, no death, no sorrow. There is no pain in God's world," of Revelation 22 and verse 4. We can see it. We study it. If you are a believer, and if you're not, then become one today by saying to Jesus, "Yes, I," in your heart, as God moves in your heart, perhaps in this service just now. And we say to you, God loves you. This love is incredible. That this God would become a man. In all ways, we tried to struggle with those illustrations, and I thought of one the other day. Albert Einstein, this brilliant man, this incredible mathematician, physicist, theoretical physicist, playing in a sandbox with 2 and 3 year olds. Albert Einstein sits on the edge of the sandbox with a truck, making this some sound like that. See, I used to be able to do that, but I don't know. Albert Einstein's looking at a 3-year-old and trying to identify. There's a huge gap, but he identifies and he is there. This is all fictional. I'm making it up. But do you see that our God would come here, and he hates sin, but he wants to save us, deliver us, that our God Christ came to identify with us who are actually rebellious and angry and upset and stupid, plain stupid, and weak and frail and heartbroken and troubled, and saying, "I love you. It is more than theory. I am sitting with you in your dump, in your swamp, in your garbage pit, in your lies, in your deception, in your unbelief. And I am saying to you, hanging on a cross, vulnerable as a victim of your own malice and deception, and you cry out for Barabbas." I was thinking of that in our culture today. We cry out for sexual promiscuity and then go at the innocent and abort the child. We go after the pornography and then we attack marriage. We go after the lie, and then we justify ourselves, and then we go after the person telling the truth. We say Barabbas not just once in our life, but perhaps as a habit. Barabbas is my man. Barabbas is my man. Barabbas is the way. And he was a thief, insurrectionist, and a murderer. Our society more and more is prone, maybe more popularly now, we are supporting the Barabbases, the thieves, the criminals, the rebels, and we're attacking those that are godly. The prophets of the Old Testament, Christ himself, the believers of the book of Acts, the church that is now existing and is in contest with this culture and saying, we choose Christ. We are not right in every way. We are frail too. We are not judgmental, but we have found the reality, the seed or the kernel, the reality of the person. We have not yet seen him, though we have not seen him yet, believing unto us that believe he is precious. Tell me who can talk to me like he can from the scripture. Tell me who can give me the real answers for this life. Tell me that I have a hope for my own cowardice-ness. We shared that yesterday. I think Peter anticipated being faithful to Christ in his own mind like this. He's saying, I will go with you, Jesus. I will be faithful. I will go with you. I will be loyal. I will even die with you. And I think when Peter is thinking about it, he's saying, we will be arrested together. I will be with you. When we stand before the high priest, I'll muster up all the courage I have, and I will say the right thing, and I'll go with you whatever happens. He had an invented idea about how it would unfold. But actually, it's strange, an important lesson for us, that it went this way. He followed Jesus from afar, watching where they took him. He's trailing behind. He sees they go up the steps, and he comes along. And they go to Caiaphas' house. And at the gate there, people are going in, following, and they're part of it. And he's not wanting to be. He is part of it, but he doesn't want to be found out. But he wants that moment. He wants to be there that moment when he's called upon to pledge an allegiance or to be there. But he can't do it even way back here. And at the gate, a young girl says, aren't you with him? Are you one of them? Are you one of his disciples? Are you from Galilee? And Peter said, no, I am not. And then he's outside the door, and then he's able to go in. And he's there warming himself by the fire. Another one, another one. He didn't even know, because he's waiting for that moment when the microphone comes to his hand and says, yes, I am with him. That didn't happen, meaning a big one-time event. But he was surprised when the cock crowed. I have betrayed him already. That event never happened. My betrayal happened with a girl at the gate, and then another young lady, and then another man. There were a few different encounters the trial was over before he even knew it. What? I betrayed him. I betrayed him. Way back here, there was sometimes when you think about ISIS murdering Christians, you may muster up in your fantasy, in your idea, Lord, may that, if that day comes to me, may I not deny you. But you're denying him way back here in the hallway, at the ice bar, the water fountain, way back here at the gas station. You're denying him way back here in the public high school when you're talking with your friends in a casual way on the basketball team. And you say, no, I'm not. Yeah, I'm. But no, I'm. We are denying him because in Proverbs 29:25, we fear men. We're afraid of our reputation. We're afraid of what people think about us. We're afraid of how it would unfold. We're afraid that we'll get marked by people. We're afraid that we're going to be noticed by people that we don't want to be noticed by. We're afraid that our neighbors will talk about it. We're afraid that we'll get marked and labeled as some kind of crazy right-wing fanatical terrorist organization or something. Who even knows? Folks, you deny Christ, and I deny Christ, and it's over even before we realize it. And then the cock crows, and we go, oh. Listen, this is Easter Sunday. Some of you go to church twice a year. This event in Christmas time, maybe one or two of you, I don't know. Some of you go once a month, maybe even a little more. But I want to encourage you. We have riches that are incredible. They're called unspeakable gifts. 2 Corinthians 9, we are rich. We have a cause. We have a country that we are concerned about. We have neighborhoods where kids are there, and we are concerned that they would be in a Sunday school as we have here. We have teenagers in our neighborhoods. We are concerned about them. Who's talking to them? One kid with spiked hair, orange, black piercings, tattoos. I go up to him and I talk to him. He's like a child in his spirit, in his attitude, in his gentleness. I think, why do you look like a monster? Why are you dressed to offend? What is your statement? Why are you doing this? I'm putting words into the story, but I want to say, nobody's talking to me. I'm making a radical statement to get attention. Is anybody looking? Is anybody caring? Is anybody have a message? Does anybody have anything to say to me? We do. Because he's raised from the dead, our world has changed. And it's inside, in our head. People care about food for the stomach. But we should care about food for our head. People care about their possessions, but we need to care about our character. People care about their families, but what do they have to give their family? What do they have to say to their family? How can a house become a home? How can people be a family? Maybe I don't have a clue, but I can get it from God because Christ was raised. And listen, what is so beautiful about this is that Jesus goes to one, and he goes to one, and he goes to a couple, and he goes to the disciples and to 500. And it was all there. But that one-on-one and on his death on the cross, his mother was important. The disciple John was important. The thief was important. Both thieves were important. But this one was with him today with me in paradise. Can you hear the kindness, the sensitivity, and the care of this person. We have a lot of growing to do, because it might be one day you'll not regret the fact that you invested your time in coming here, opening your Bible, being a believer, of growing in your faith. There'll be a time when you say, praise God, I made a good investment. I fought a good fight. There'll be a day when you will say, praise God, I was a believer. That, you know, the kind that does believe, the kind that has something, the kind that has something to say that is above and beyond just this nature, this world. You won't regret it that you made the investment. But think about it. How much time is spent this way and this way and this way, and how valuable it is to gather in his name and think about him and talk about him and listen to him. For the Holy Spirit is faithful to minister to us and put it in our heart and prepare us for one day we will meet him. And I wish my words were engraven in stone, Job said. I know my Redeemer liveth, and in the latter day he shall stand upon the earth. And though worms will eat this body, yet in my flesh my eyes will see him. And we say it too. Oh God, if these words were not engraven in stone, but in the hearts of the believers, what we have, then we'll go to the Lenin Mausoleum and put our hand upon a weeping, broken-hearted person, and they come. And that has happened. Would you pray with me? If you're here this morning and you have seen the play, maybe some television in Hollywood demonstrations, and we want to assure you today that man was made in God's image, not as the animals, but more than an animal, more like an angel. We've lost our image, and we have suffered immeasurably, and yet God has not left us without hope, but sent his only Son. Meaning God himself came here as a man to redeem us. He himself took care of the mess. When he was raised, he said, I go to my Father and your Father. Is God your Father? If to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, born not of the will of man, nor of flesh, nor of blood, but born of God by faith in him. Say this simple prayer. God, Jesus Christ, I believe in you personally. I'm deciding. Help my unbelief. Teach me. Guide me. I trust in you. Take my sin away and give me this gift of eternal life. Would you raise your hand if you're saying that prayer, if you said that prayer? Would you just raise your hand? The ushers will give you a booklet. Anyone at all? Yes, to Jesus. Thank you. God bless you. There's a lady, two ladies right here. Yes, thank you. Just put up the hand high. There's another one here. Anyone else? This is a serious decision. Don't put it off. Serious between you and God. And just to repeat, there is no sin greater than Christ's blood. There is no crime greater than his sacrifice. He said on the cross, it is finished. And it means the atonement has been paid. The blood has been shed. And the resurrection is God's amen to it is finished. It is finished, and 3 days later, he is raised on your behalf. And we want you in your heart, by God, say, yes, I believe. And then walk by faith in him. You will see your life will change. Your sins will go away. You repent. It's very important that you say, I'm not going to do both my sin and follow Jesus. It's follow Jesus, and you will know the power over your sin. It's not both my way and God's, my life, and then God. You want to know God. You want to know God. Believe in God, and you want to know him, and he will do this for you by his grace. If he saved you when you were a sinner, how much more he will lead you and guide you as his child. And you have now the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of God will lead you and fill you. And in your filling, you will find that joy is greater than the pleasure of sin. Sin has pleasure, but the joy of the Holy Spirit is greater than the pleasure of sin that is for a season. If sin and the pleasure of it lasts only a few hours or minutes or a few days, and then the experience of the pain of the sin happens, maybe immediately, but maybe it takes a while. But it is not the way to go. It is to go another way, believing in Christ, walking by faith in him, and the Spirit teaching you. And that happens to every born-again believer. Every believer, this happens to them. Every believer has the opportunity of believing and walking as a way of life in Christ. And then the sin is over, not in an absolute sense, because I can still sin, and I can do that. I still have free choice, but I will remember the nature of my victory over sin. I will remember the joy, the love, and the peace, and the freedom over my sin. And this is Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 8, the guarantee and the promise to the believer. Yes, if you have accepted Christ today, get a Bible, start reading the Gospel of John, and God will speak to you. Pick up a Bible and start to read the Gospel of John, and then come and assemble wherever your church is, where you have teaching, and you're welcome to be with us here and hear the ministry of the Word of God to your heart, and you will walk by faith, and by faith you experience the reality of Christ. Yes, even in your home, in your patio, in your bedroom. Yes, even at night, in the morning. Yes, even at noon and through the day, 24/7. Experiencing the reality of Christ in this new life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Yes, in Jesus' name, amen.